in Parshas Kisavo, Perkavav Pasuke, if you don't recognize this pasuk, then I question your authority to be Jewish. That's number one. And number two, there is a vort here that if you don't know it, it's possible you're not Jewish. So I apologize for both. If you don't know the water sheet vort, I 100% say you're not Jewish. So here we go. The Anisiv Amarta, you will call out loud and say, Levnei Hashem Lekecha, in front of Hashem your God, Arami Oved Avi, the Aramean made my father lose out. Vayirid Mitzrayim, and he went down to Mitzrayim, Vayigashom Bimsim Ot, and he lived there, few in number, Vayisham Lagoygod Otsim Varov, and he became a great, strong, and numerous, or abundant nation. I don't know, this is going to have to be an art scroll word here. So what does that mean? What is the Aramean referring to over here? What does this have anything to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? If it's Lavan, why are we Vayirid Mitzrayim? Lavan Arami tried to trick my father, all of a sudden we went down to Mitzrayim. What's the connection between the two? This is going to be, obviously, for this week, you got it down. But I want you to use this for Pesach also. This is an awesome thing to be able to know just for Pesach. What's going on with the Rami Ovid Avi? It's the beginning of Tzei Olamad. It's the middle of the Seder, right about the time when everybody starts to either go to sleep or read really, really quickly. Now you'll actually know what you're saying when you say Rami Ovid Avi. So here's the deal. Rashi says, Arami is Lavan. He wanted to destroy Yaakov Avinu. We mentioned this here to tell you, this was a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a tremendous chesed to us when we left Egypt. But not only when we left Egypt. Lavan bikesh lakor tzakol. Lavan wanted to get rid of everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted it as if he actually destroyed him. By Rishayim, machshava kemaisa. If they think to do something evil, it's like they did something evil. They actually did it in that mind. There were many others who tried to destroy us over the years. Not just Lavan and not just Mitzrayim. And this is the reminder Hashem is giving us. That not only was there Lavan, not only was there Mitzrayim, but constantly there are people who have tried to destroy us. The Vihisha Amda Lavo Senu Velanu. When everybody tries to destroy us, no worries. It's going to be okay because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us. It seems that Rashi is saying the connection between Lavan and us going down to Mitzrayim is simply put that just like Lavan tried to destroy us, Mitzrayim tried to destroy us. Just like Hashem saved Yaakov from Lavan, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Mitzrayim. That's the connection between them, and that's that. Targum Onkelos mentions Lavan. Targum Yonasan does not. He just says the Aramean. He does not say Lavan Arami, but it's likely he means that as well. Yalkut Ruveni says he used every magic trick in the book to be able to destroy him. Every magic trick that he could think of, he went and tried to destroy Yaakov Avinu. None of it worked, because Yaakov had nothing to do with magic. Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. He was a perfect person when it came to magic. He didn't want to have anything to do with any of this tuma, any of the garbage out there, and therefore nothing was affected. He was not affected. Rami obeyed Avi through magic. By Yerud Mitzrayim, everything was fine. He was able to get down. Rabbeinu Ephraim says it does refer to Lavan as well. He says that as well. But Oved Avi means my father lost himself from Lavan. He ran away. He made himself lost to get away from Lavan. You hear that? It's the opposite. It's not Arami Oved Avi, as in Lavan Arami tried to trick my father. It's Arami, there was a Lavan, therefore Oved Avi. My father ran away from him. My father could not deal with living with Lavan, so he ran away from him after 20 years to get out of his clutches. But the Ibn Ezra, Chizkuni, Rabbeinu Bechaya, Tur, and Sfornim all say that Arami is not Lavan. Arami is Yaakov. Yaakov is the Aramean. He says, the Pasuk means to say like this, when Yaakov was in Aram, when he was an Aramean, he was lost, poor, had no money, had nothing to him. Arami Oved was Avi. You get it? He was the Arami Oved. It's not that Lavan Arami is trying to destroy. Yaakov was his own worst enemy. They have a line by certain baseball teams, basketball teams, football teams, where you'll see this line. It's literally them playing themselves. It's not like the other team doesn't really matter. There are certain teams that are so good that they're fighting themselves when it comes to this. It doesn't matter who the other team is. The other team could be the worst team in the league or the best team in the league. If this team shows up to play, they'll win. If they don't show up to play, they lose. It doesn't matter who they play. I think they used this for the Golden State Warriors of the past 2 years. Such a great team, an awesome team. When they played the way they were supposed to play, there's no one that could beat them. When they played we'll play, whatever, then all of a sudden they lost. That's the way the Warriors were, and that's what ends up happening with stuff like this. This is the line over here. It didn't matter if Yaakov was going up against Lavan, against Esav, against Mitzrayim. It didn't matter who they fought. Yaakov was his own worst enemy, chas v'shalom, in the sense that if he did well, things went well, and if things don't go well, unfortunately, they don't go well. And that really applies to us as well. That's the concept. Arami Ovid Avi, Arami, my father, was a lost Aramean, Vayirid Mitzrayim, and in the end had to go down to Mitzrayim to fix himself up, to get the Jews back on track, so to speak. Now, that's one. The Chidah explains, based on the Medrash, that Lavan was a purpose. Lavan was a means to an end. Yaakov Avinu saw Lavan and saw there was crazy amounts of Kiddusha by him. Does anybody know what Lavan's wife's name was? I'll give you a dollar. No, it's not going to be enough? No. Adina. Ayin Dalid Yud Nun Hey, the only time that that name appears in Tanakh, Adina was his wife. Adina was Kadosh. She had two daughters, possibly four. They were two of the greatest people on earth, Rachel and Leah. Yaakov Avinu saw, I don't know if this means through the constellations, I don't know if this means through his Kiddusha, I don't know if this means he had Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know if it's because Yitzchak and Rivka told him this. I don't know how. But he knew there was crazy amounts of Kiddusha that were sitting there by Lavan. And all he wanted to do is go and grab it. He wanted this Kiddusha for himself. He knew that the Shvatim would be born from Rachel and Leah, from this family. So he went, Arami Ovidavi is this. The Arami was to be destroyed by my father. Yaakov Avinu went to destroy them. Yaakov Avinu went to go down to Lavan and take all of the Kiddusha out, grab all of that Kiddusha and keep it for himself. He wanted to destroy the Aramean. That was his whole purpose in going down there in the first place. He knew that even Lavan's sheep were holy sparks of Kiddusha, that the sheep were going to be Klal Yisrael in the future. He knew he had to grab the sheep as well. There was something that Yaakov Avinu knew, and he had to grab it away and make Lavan lose out in everything. The funny thing, Lavan, after this point, forget about not appearing. His children are gone. We don't hear of him ever again. When the Kiddusha was taken away, when Rachel and Leah were taken away, then all of a sudden they weren't applicable anymore. Nobody cared about Lavan. He came there, Arami Ovidavi. The Arami was destroyed by my father. The Chasam Sofer says a little bit different. Yaakov spent 20 years trying to get Lavan Arami to do tshuva. Guess how that worked? 20 years. You feel like a failure. You feel like an absolute failure. Arami, Lavan Arami, Ovidavi made my father feel like a failure. His first kiruv thing, for how many years was he in yeshiva for? 77 years? 77 years, he's single and in yeshiva. He goes to Lavan, and he gets married by the age of 83, 84. He's 77 when he gets there, and he spends 20 years there, from 77 until 97. This man has worked on himself like crazy to be the greatest Talmud Chacham out there. And he goes to a person, Lavan, a family member, who he assumed he'd just be able to talk to and bring him up in Kiddusha. And for 20 years, not only did Lavan resist, Lavan was no better than he was in the first place. The Chasam Sofer says that Yaakov Avinu felt like a failure at the end. Arami, Oved Avi, it made my father feel like he was lost. He had nothing, and nothing, at the end of 20 years, nothing. I don't understand. Noach must have felt like this. 120 years to go help people, to get them to go on the Teva. How many people came with Noach on the Teva? At the very end, Og is like, me. And Noach is like, seriously, that's the only guy? Like, out of everybody else. He was like the one guy that I didn't want, and Og is the one that finds his way on there. Noach felt, I can't even imagine what he felt like, to work in a yeshiva for that long and have zero success stories. Now, I know you can't judge a success story by that. Any kiruv worker will tell you that a person becoming frum is not the end goal for him to become closer to God. But I'm not a kiruv worker, so I'm telling you, it is about making the person frum, because why not? And they didn't. He didn't do it. So he felt lost, says the Chasam Sofer. It's possible. That's why Rachel Imenu did what she did at the end. What did Rachel Imenu take away from Lavan at the end? What did she take away? The Trufim, those idols, away from Lavan. Why? Because after 20 years, Yaakov Avinu was not able to do anything. Said Rachel, you know what? Let's see if this works. And she grabbed the Trufim. So at the very end, like, Yaakov, at least you stopped him from doing Avodah Zarah. At least he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah anymore. The Trufim are gone. Maybe that was it. The concept is so crazy of what he was trying to do. On the other hand, it goes like this. A Rasha having a bad thought is like he actually did it. What happens if a Tzaddik has a good thought, but he's not able to do what he wanted to do? It counts. Arami was obeyed by Avi. The love in Arami was destroyed by my father. His tumah was destroyed. He was brought up in Kiddusha. He was able to become a tzaddik. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu thought he wanted to put Lavan in a good place, and therefore it counts as if he actually did it. And therefore, not only that, his children remain steadfast. His children are able to influence others. We we are able to do things to other people because Yaakov Avinu had that thought, and it counts as a maisa. It's as if he actually did it. It's a crazy idea over here. The Rashbam and the Bechor Shor have an even bigger chiddush. Avram Avinu was an Aramean. Avram Avinu was from Aram. From Aram Naharaim. He's from the area of Aram. Avram Avinu was lost with his nation until Hashem helped them in Egypt and brought them out and made them into a big nation. Arami is Avraham, Ovid Avi. So we have basically six pshatim on how to learn this. The simple pshat is it's love and Arami, and that's where we're going to go for the rest of this year. But you could say it's Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu is either losing out from Lavan, or making Lavan lose out, or trying to make Lavan lose out, or it's referring to Avram Avinu himself. All those pshatim all work over here, the concept that goes through. So if it was Lavan, why call him Arami? Why not call him Lavan? We should have said, Lavan Oved Avi. Why call him an Arami over here? So the Chasam Sofer says, simple. Because Lavan was a liar. Lavan was a person, a shyster. He was that, and pardon me, I'm sorry if this is one of you. I know obviously you don't do this for a living. He was a used car salesman who was willing to say anything to get the deal done. Honestly, willing to get anything. He will say anything or do anything in order to get that deal done. Lavan seemed like a great guy. You look at Lavan on the outside, he looked white and innocent. Pardon me, I don't mean it that way. But he looked innocent, as if there was nothing wrong with him completely. That's the name Lavan over here. The Arami within him was evil. Lavan could not destroy Yaakov Avinu. Lavan still had good ideas. Arami could destroy Yaakov Avinu. The Arami within him had to destroy. And that's why we call it Arami OVW over here. Arami, according to Talmud Das Rav Sternbach, he says, these Rishayim are the worst. On the outside, they look really nice. They wear their suits, they wear their ties, they look like they got a big keep on top of their heads, and on the inside, they're filled with garbage. That's Lavan. That's Lavan. According to the Yalkut Ruvani, this is an awesome shot, Lavan and Yaakov looked exactly the same. You know what happened over the years? Yaakov Avinu, right, looked the way he looked. I'm just going to picture it right now. I know this is not how he looked. He looked with his black suit and his black hat, right? And he had the white shirt on and a nice little tie that had a little bit frayed on the bottom. He had, like, you know, that suit, that rabbi look that was good for everybody. And he had it looking out there. Lavan Arami, slowly but surely, took on Yaakov Avinu's look. At first, he was wearing his t-shirt and jeans. And then he went on to a nice pair of slacks. Then he went on to a darker pair of slacks. Then he went on to a little white shirt. Then he wore a jacket for davening. Right? Then he put on the black hat. As time went on, and when everything was said and done, Lavan Arami looked like Yaakov Avinu. They looked alike. Lavan Arami even acted like Yaakov Avinu. And outside, you couldn't tell the difference between the two. Lavan and Yaakov looked alike. On the inside, Lavan was such garbage. He did all the sins in the world behind closed doors. He cheated, he stole, he murdered, he did everything. But on the outside, he looked like a full-blown rabbi. Everything looked perfectly fine. According to the Yalkut Ruvani, Lavan Arami, people couldn't tell the difference. And Yaakov Avinu actually had to daven. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let people see the difference between me and him. Let there be a difference between us. Because otherwise, you don't know, says Talmud Das, that is the worst person out there. The guy that you can't even tell. You can't even tell that he's a bad guy because he looks really good. He looks like a regular yeshiva bacher. There shouldn't be anything wrong with him. I can't believe that this guy is actually filled with this garbage. I don't think there's anything like it. If you hear of a guy, like, let's just say, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, right? If you see somebody doing something wrong, but the guy looks like he's not from, you say, like, oh, you know, like, he just didn't grow up that way. That's the reaction that you have. But if you see a Hasidish Yid doing something wrong, what's your immediate reaction? Your immediate reaction is, what's wrong with that guy? How could that be? It bothers us to see the outside and to know that the inside isn't the same. And the truth is, we have no right to judge. Maybe the inside is really good. Maybe he just made a mistake this one time. We don't know. But that's what bothers us more than anything else. It's when the outside doesn't match the inside that we get so bothered. What is wrong with that guy? How could that guy do such a thing? That bothers me so much. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says it's more than that. Lavan was not the only guy in town like this. Anybody remember the story of how he tricked Yaakov with Leah and Rachel? Put Leah in the house. Anybody know what he did with all the people? The neighborhood? Neighborhood is standing outside the window where Yaakov and Leah were together. And they were singing out, Ole, Ole, Ole. They were in on the trick. They were in on everything. And they were doing everything they can to try to pretend, oh yeah, that's Rachel, that's Rachel. And at the end, they were singing like, Ole, Ole, to try to get Yaakov to think, uh-oh, what's going on over here? The people in Aram were just as evil as Lavan. It's not just Lavan tried to trick my father, tried to make my father lose out. It's Arami, the Aramian, the whole people want to destroy my father. I have no idea what the Arameans are like nowadays, that I'm not going to get into, but it seems like the whole people had something missing in them, something that was wrong about them that they couldn't get down. I quoted the Yaakov Ruveni before, by the way. It was the Me'a Shiloh, the Ishbitzer, that says it that way. That was the difference between the two. So why do we start with this? Why do we start with Lavan? Why do we start with Lavan? Why not, in the Haggadah, let's say instead of Arami Oved Avi, start off with Esav Oved Avi, the Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma. Where's Esav? Esav also tried to destroy my father, not only after he came back, but before he went to Lavan Arami, Esav was involved. Where's Esav in all this? Where'd he go? Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitcher, the Grizz says, because Lavan, we're out of. Anybody here feel persecuted from Lavan? Never, right? Do you feel persecuted from Esav? And I'm sorry. We're living in America, in big houses, and Shalant on a Thursday night. We don't feel persecuted by Esav. We feel embraced by Esav. So that's maybe a bad line to be able to say. It's a completely different world, and it's completely out there. But I'm saying, Esav's gullus has not ended. So we can't say, Arami Oved Avi and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from them, the same way we can do about Esav. Esav is different. Esav we're still in. You can only do it about Lavan, but not about this. Says the Grizz, we can't do that anymore. So let's go on. So what is this Vayered Mitzrayma business? Simplest shot, the simplest shot you'll ever hear in your life aside from Rashi. Arami Oved Avi. Lavan wanted to trick my father. Vayered Mitzrayma. Does anybody know who Lavan became? Either through a Gilgal or he actually grew up and became? Bilam. Now, Beor is a good call. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Zayin. Very, very good. No, I'm very proud of you with that one. It's Beor. Beor, Lavan, it is Bilam ben Beor. But according to the Targum Yonis Menuzil and the Midrashim in the Parshios, Lavan is Bilam. Either through a Gilgal or they're actually Lavan is Bilam. So here we go. You ready? Arami Oved Avi. Bilam tried to destroy Yaakovinu. He wasn't successful. So what did he do? Vayered Mitzrayma. Who went down to Mitzrayim? Bilam went down to Mitzrayim to destroy us. Bilam went down to Mitzrayim. What did he become when he was in Mitzrayim? Come on, guys. The chief advisor to Paro. So Bilam went down. Lavan went down to destroy Mitzrayim. If he couldn't destroy us in Aram, so he went down to Mitzrayim to destroy us. That's the simplest pshat. The Chassam Sofer brings that pshat. I think that somebody else, the Tzitz Eliezer, brings it in his tshuvas. That's, to me, the most obvious pshat out there. I think that's the simplest idea. Ramosha Feinstein says it the following way. Yaakovinu never wanted to go down to Mitzrayim. Why didn't he want to go to Mitzrayim? He's not ready. If he goes down to Mitzrayim, he's going to lose everything. If his children go down to Mitzrayim, he's going to lose everything. Only when he saw that he was able to succeed by Lavan, that he could sit by Lavan and be frum, and be Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, I can do everything I'm supposed to do as a timeout. You ever wonder, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, I kept 613 mitzvahs. You know, one of those 613 mitzvahs is not marrying two sisters. I understand if you say, I kept mitzvahs. I'm good with that. You say, I kept all 613 mitzvahs. How do you get around that one? Achuzisha is still an issue. How do you do that? Okay, it's a thought question. I have eight answers, but it's a thought question. I want you to think about it, okay? But Moshe said when he went to Lavan, got married, had children, and he saw where he was holding. He saw that he was awesome. He saw that he had everything he was supposed to do. He said, I don't have to worry about Mitzrayim anymore. Only because Arami tried to trick my father and Yaakov Avinu was able to get out of it, Vayered Mitzrayim. Did he feel like he could go down to Mitzrayim and things were going to work out? If not for that, he never would have gone down. He was so worried that he wasn't going to be able to go. But he did, and he succeeded. 613. He was all able to, or 612. He was able to do almost every mitzvah in the book, and he was perfectly fine with it. That was the idea behind it. That's what it says regarding Moshe Feinstein. His shot is amazing. Then it's Tziv, and it's also quoted by the Chassam Sofer and Taurus Moshe. I don't know which one was written first. I know the Netziv came after the Chassam Sofer. That's not my question. But I believe the Netziv may have been printed before the Taurus Moshe was printed. I don't know if the Chassam Sofer printed the Taurus Moshe in his lifetime or if it came posthumously. I'm not sure. Otherwise, whatever, either one, Yaakov Avinu could have stayed. He could have stayed in Aram. What do you have to go to Mitzrayim for? Stay with Lavan, live with him, and have your gullus with Lavan. And honestly, that may have been the thought process of Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka may have gone to Yaakov and said, listen, buddy, you need to get married. You're 77. I think it's time. It's time for you to get married. And it seems you got to go into Golos. Avram said, Bama Eda, how do I know that I don't inherit it? He was promised that his children would go to Golos. So go to Golos by my cousins, said Rivka. Go to Golos by my brother. You have to go somewhere. You have to be somewhere. So go here. go here. It's all going to work out if you go here. This is the best place to go. So he went ahead and he told him, I've got a place for you. So then Tziv says, he told him, let's go over here. But Yaakov saw, this is bad. It was bad. He can't stay here. He can't stay with Laban. Laban was getting worse and worse and worse. Arami Oved Avi, every time he tried doing something, Arami tried killing him, tried destroying him. He said, I can't stay here. I can't do this anymore. Because of that, Vayered Mitzrayim. Yaakov felt, I can't have Gullus here. I'm going to have to go down to Mitzrayim and have my Gullus there. It's better, and this is so sad, but I think we've all experienced this. It's better to have Gullus by a non-Jew than to have Gullus with a Jew. To have Gullus with, I shouldn't say a Jew, Levin's not a Jew, but a person that's close to it. Ask anybody who has been to a regular college out there, whatever it is, and ask the professors, when you tell them, oh, I have Sukkot coming up, and Yom Kippur coming up, and Rosh Hashanah coming up. You have a class on a Thursday, and then all of a sudden there's Rosh Hashanah, and then Sukkot, and then Shmini Atzeres to boot. Right? All of a sudden, they're chagged out. A non-Jew is like, oh, it's your holiday. I'm totally respectful. A Jew is like, I don't believe in that holiday. You shouldn't be keeping it anyway. That's the difference. It's different when you're by Lavan than when you're by somebody else. I'd rather go to Mitzrayim, said Yaakov Avinu. He looked at it, says in it's even the Chassam Sofer, and said, it's better in Mitzrayim for me than it is here. It's much better in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they understand it. In Mitzrayim, they're allowing me to go through. Here, they're not doing. We're treated horribly by a person like Lavan. He said, I can't deal with this. I can't do it. The Chassam Sofer says another answer. It was the language that's so problematic. What were the three things that the Jews were able to keep in Mitzrayim? We know there were five. They didn't speak Lashon Hara. They didn't get involved with Arias. What were the other three things? They didn't change what? Their clothes, their language, and their names. They didn't change their language. They didn't change their name. They didn't change their clothes. You know why? They wanted to remain distinct. Now, when the Egyptian language goes up against Hebrew, you can all of a sudden, you can retain your language. Like, Spanish and English are so different from one another, so different, that there can be an entire Spanish community. You can plant a Spanish community in the middle of Chicago where everybody's speaking English, but you can have a whole Spanish community there. That's not an issue. There's an ability because they're so different from one another, right? It could be that you have a whole entire people that just doesn't want to learn English. When they went down to Mitzrayim and they couldn't get the language, it was Egyptian and they were all weirded out by it, and the hieroglyphics were everywhere. So it's not like, eh. We don't need to get involved with this. So they didn't get involved. They didn't learn Egyptian. They didn't speak Egyptian. They gave themselves their own names. They remained distinct. If they would have stayed with Lavan in Aram, we know what would happen. The Aramean language is, we all know this, it's Aramis. Aramis is just like Hebrew. It's so close, you can barely tell the difference between Yerushalmi and Gemara Bavli. In Bavli, it sometimes switches over from one to the other. They're so similar to one another. Had they gone to Aram, they would have learned the Aramean language. And they would have spoken the other language. And they would have given names of the Aramean names. And they would have eventually dressed like the Aramean dress. Said a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they can't stay in Aram. If they stay in Aram for Gullus, if they stay by Lavan for Gullus, they're going to become Lavan in Gullus. And I can't let that happen. They have to go down to Mitzrayim. Because Arami would be Oved Avi, would make my father lose his identity, lose his distinctness. Therefore, Vayered Mitzrayim. That's why they have to go down to Mitzrayim. It's why we couldn't remain in Gullus with them. You know, in theory, America should have been a perfect place for us. The melting pot should have been fine. We should have gone to America and spoken our own language. And the truth is, that was what it was like in the 1910s, 1920s. The Jewish enclaves all spoke Yiddish. Everyone spoke their own language. Granted, it wasn't Hebrew, but they all spoke Yiddish. They spoke their own language, and that was it. They spoke English when they had to, but they remained distinct in how they were, and that allowed them to retain their identities. But what happened? They sent their kids to public school. In public school, all the kids learned English, the result of which they were given English names, and when they were given the English names with the English language, they mamela dressed up like them, and they intermarried. And now you come to the point where we are today where everybody is a huge melting pot. That's exactly what happened. I'm not saying one was the cause of the other, but it makes so much sense. That's exactly what you would expect to happen if you have it something like that. You need to have a certain, we're staying here, we're not doing it, we're not going anywhere, and that's it. That's how some servers say, yeah, I'll got you. Not only does New Square, Hasidim are very, very distinct for this reason. They won't change their language. They won't change. So we're looking out there, we're like, why can't you just learn English? Why can't you just do English? I understand them. I get it. I get it. I don't like speaking Yiddish. Farshtena Berednish, that's first of all, right? But regardless, I don't like speaking the language. But they get it. They're understanding that this makes them different, and they remain different. And therefore, even though there are always some Hasidim that join up and become different, for the most part, they are distinct. They're totally different. They're completely different from everybody else. It seems to me to be an unbelievable thing to be able to do. Chassam Sofer says it might be that the osmosis that he took in, Yaakovina was able to take in so much Tuma from Lavan without even realizing it, he had to burn it all off in the Kura Barzal of Egypt. Somehow the children were affected by it. And maybe he needed to go down to Mitzrayim to get rid of it all. He tried going to Eretz Yisrael to try to burn off that Tuma by basking in the Kedusha, and it wasn't enough. They needed to get down to Mitzrayim to get rid of the Lavan within them. The Shvatim still had it, and they had to get rid of it, and therefore they ended up going down. Now, another simple idea. This is a simple one. Very, very simple. Why is it they went down to Mitzrayim? Well, because Lavan Arami tricked my father. How did he trick my father? He made him marry Leah and Rachel. Well, that caused that the firstborn was not who was supposed to be. Who was supposed to be the firstborn child of Yaakov Avinu? Yosef. But in the end, who was it? Reuven. Because Lavan tricked my father into marrying Leah and then marrying Rachel, the result of that is that eventually they entered Mitzrayim and they got into a fight and he ended up going down to Mitzrayim. That was the result of what happened over there. It makes sense. It makes sense. Now, I thought of that parish before I saw it in the Mefarshim, so I'm just quoting that one as my own, okay? But if you really want, it's brought by Mayana Shel Torah, the Panini Kedem, the Al-Sheikh, and Aksav HaKabbalah. But I came up with it first, before all of them, even though they lived 500 years before me. Or at least the Al-Sheikh did. It's okay, I came up with it first. Based on the Chidah that we mentioned above, you could say the exact opposite. Why did Yaakovinu go down to Lavan? To take out his Kedusha. To grab Leah and Rachel, grab in that Kedusha. Why did he go down to Mitzrayim, guys? Why did Yaakov Avinu go down to Mitzrayim? To grab the Kedusha out of Mitzrayim. There was so much Kedusha there. He was able to pull it out, able to grab it, because he went down to Mitzrayim. That's the idea of, first, Arami Ovid Avi, he destroyed Aram, my father, therefore, by Yerid Mitzrayim, and he went and took it away from them as well. And then there were two left. Who were the two left? The two bits of Kedusha he still needed in order to beget Mashiach. Ammon and Moab. Nama Ammonis and Rusa Moabia. And he got those also. Eventually came through. There's another Chanukah Satorah. There's a Yalkut Ruveni. This is good. He says, Lavan Arami used Kishuf against us in Aram, and it didn't work. We went down to Mitzrayim in order to learn, not us, I should say not us. Bilam went down to Mitzrayim to learn more Kishuf. To try to destroy us even further. Lavan knew a certain amount of Kishuf. Bilam knew more. So Bilam did more and more and more, went down to Mitzrayim specifically to try to get down that Tuma, try to get down that Kishuf, and destroy him completely. In the end, it didn't work, but that's the concept that Yaakov Reini brings up. And now comes the word that I honestly hold. If you don't hear this word, I don't know why you're Jewish. I don't see the point behind you even trying to daven in the morning. I don't understand what you guys have been doing up until now. Elio, I think you know this. So you're going to be okay. But everybody else, honestly, Moshe, you probably know this as well. But Noah, there's no way you know this. There's just no way. I'm telling you, your Jewish life starts now. Starts right now, okay? Rabbi Yolmi Satmer says this. I never saw it inside. I was told it over by a Rebbe of mine. It's the greatest word of all time. Arami Oved Avi. Love and Arami tricked my father. Vayered Mitzrayim. And he went down to Mitzrayim. What's the connection? Love and Arami, and they went down to Mitzrayim. Well, you know what it is? It's simple, he says. Lavan Arami went up to my father and he said, I know you want to make a living for yourself. Okay, I'll give you all the spotted sheep. All the spotted sheep that are born are all yours. So Yaakov Avinu had the sheep, and the sheep gave birth to all spotted sheep. Every sheep that was born became a spotted sheep. So Lavan said, okay, you'll take all the striped sheep, and I'll take all the spotted sheep from now on. So we all know what happened, right? Changed over. All the sheep that were born were striped sheep. Every single one was a striped sheep. Everything worked out well. So Lavan Arami said, all right, I'm taking the spot in the stripe. You're getting the brown sheep. Any brown sheep is yours. Everything else is mine. So we all know what happened, right? Every sheep that was born was white. No, brown. Brown sheep. And every single one of them ended up being brown sheep. And Lavan, Yaakov kept gaining. He got the spotted sheep. He got the striped sheep. He got the brown sheep. And everything Lavan did, he ended up getting. Finally, Lavan came over the chop. He's like, all right, I got it. You take all the male sheep. I'll take all the male sheep. You, Yaakov, will take all the female sheep. Let's see you have babies without any males. Let's see what happens now. So what happened? Rashi says, Yaakov Avinu put sticks inside the water by the advice of the malach that came to him in a dream at night, put these sticks in the water, stripped off part of their bark, and when the sheep came to the water, according to the second shot in Rashi, the sheep came down to the water, drank from the water, stared at the sticks, and became pregnant from the water. No males involved. Immaculate conception of sheep. And they went ahead, and they all became pregnant from that water itself. Now, the babies that were born were not regular sheep. These were water sheep. Water sheep. Now, there's a halacha in Chulin. It's brought down in Chulin around Daf Samach Gimel. I'd have to check it out, but around Samach Gimel. And it says, if an animal is born on land, if he's from the land, there's a lot of tumah on the land, you need two simanei shechita. The esophagus and the trachea. You need two of those simanim to be cut. If it's in the air, a little more tahor, right? It's in the air already, a little more tahor, then you only need one siman shechita. That's all you need, nothing more than that. But if it's in the water, water is filled with kedusha, right? A fish doesn't need simanei shechita at all. Technically, you could eat a fish whole and alive. You could just take a bite out of it while it's alive. No eivar min hachai by fish. There's no problem with it. You can eat it as it is, no problem whatsoever. That's fine, right? So if these are water sheep, right, Avram? They're water sheep. That means you could eat them whole and alive without any problem. No issue of Eivar Min Achai. These water sheep grew up to be a flock of Yaakov Avinu's flocks. And the Shvatim were watching over these flocks. And the Shvatim were eating Eivar Min Achai. And Yosef Atzadik said to their father Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu, they're eating Eivar Min Achai. Because he saw what they were doing. To which Yaakov told the Shvatim, stop eating Eivar Min Achai. Said the Shvatim, it's water sheep. You can eat Eivar Min Achai from water sheep. There's no problem with that. So what's the issue, Dad? We shouldn't be able to do it. But they were so angry, it started a fight between the Shvatim and Yosef Atzadik. And therefore the Shvatim sold Yosef eventually down to Mitzrayim. Thus, because Arami obeyed Avi and Lavan Arami tricked my father, therefore, Vayered Mitzrayim. Therefore, we ended up going down to Mitzrayim. That is the greatest ever Dvar Torah that you're ever going to hear in the history of mankind. And if you find a better one, you're a liar. There is no such thing. This is the water sheep Dvar Torah of the century. That is that. What's up, Moshe? That's regarding whether or not it's considered a chaya of the yam or a chaya of the aretz. That's something totally different. Well, hold on. An otter, for example, is a chaya of the yam, right? Not for shechita. I've never shechted an otter, and I don't think that we're ever going to, but only regarding where it runs to. That's only regarding a chaya. There's no sheiches to shechita. This is a straight-out Gemara. If it's on the land, it's two. If it's in the air, it's one. If it's in the sea, it's zero. That's a straight-out Gemara. No need to argue on that. But that's one thing over there, aside from that. You thought you were going to knock down the Satmar Rav's board? You thought you were going to knock this down over here? It's not possible. This is literally the greatest of all time. This is like, I'm pretty sure that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, there was an 11th Dibur, and it was this. This was probably it. Now, that might be Kfira, but it's as close as you can get to it. Avayu, what's up? I blame no one. That's awesome. Yes, go ahead.
The sheep were giving birth in the water?
No. From the water. From the water. That's it. That's how it goes. Yeah. No, not even half sheep. Get rid of the sheep, because then you need one simon shechita, technically. All water. It is a water hybrid. That's all it is. It's sort of like alfalfa sprouts being grown in water. Nothing else to say. Ovadia. I'm sure it did. Yeah, I'm sure it did. Not if it's from the water. If you have a cow that comes out of the water, no need. There's no need. Oh, actually, the cow of the sea is actually not kosher. But regardless, that nonetheless, that's going to be over there. There's so much more here, guys. I have so many more ideas on what Arami Ovid Avi Vayered Mitzrayim are. The Chafetz Chaim said at his Seder, the reason why we had to get away from Lavan and go down to Egypt is because Lavan wanted to destroy us completely. And at that point, there was nothing to do but take Yaakov out and fulfill his tachlis somewhere else. So the Chafetz Chaim said, until now, we had a czar. There was a czar in charge, and he gave us stuff, and it was horrible. But now we have the Bolsheviks. Now we have the Bolsheviks that want to destroy our religion. Until now, it was Mitzrayim. Now it's Lavan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lavan is worse than Mitzrayim. That was what the Chofetz Chaim said about what was happening in Russia at the time and how they were being destroyed. There's a Reb Chaim Knievsky over here. Reb Chaim Knievsky in Taimi Dekra says, the Medrash tells us after Lavan left Yaakov. Remember, Lavan went to go get his children back, right? And his wives and his daughters back. He went back and he said, fine, Yaakov, I won't hurt you. He immediately sent a message to Esav. And he said to Esav, Yaakov's coming. Destroy him. That was the message. That was the idea of what he sent him to do. And Esav wanted to destroy him, but didn't. Why? Because according to one medrash, Eliphaz said to him, Dad, if you kill them, if you kill Yaakov and all of his kids, that means you are going to have to go into Gullus. Because the proclamation of Gullus was made to Avram that his children were going to have to go to Gullus. It could either be through Yaakov or it could be through you. Do you want to be through Yaakov or through you? See, Esav said, you're right. Let them go to Gullus. Let them go into exile. And Eliphaz, your son Amalek, as soon as they get out of Gullus, destroy them. Now you wonder why Amalek waited for the Jews to leave Mitzrayim, and then when they left Mitzrayim, tried to destroy him. This was a dictum that was made by Yaakov, by Esav, that they would have to do once they left. That was Esav's line. So therefore, Arami Ovidavi, love and Arami wanted to destroy my father, so he told Esav to do it. But Esav said, Vayered Mitzrayim. Esav said, let them go down to Mitzrayim. I don't have to do it. I'd rather him go down there instead of anything else. We'll go on. There's a Panim Yafos over here, a Geras Carmel that's really, really awesome about Eliezer that we don't need to get into right now, the Chanukah Satorah. We're going to go into something else entirely. The last part is Hasidish Satorah, and then finally with the line here by Parshas Bikurim, what is it doing here by Bikurim? And we only have 4 minutes, so let's do that line by Bikurim. Penine Kedem says that Lavan attempted to destroy the Peros of Klal Yisrael, Yaakovinu's children. Therefore, because Lavan wanted to destroy the peros of Yaakov, we say this line when we bring our peros to the Beis HaMikdash, our bikurim, our first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it's doing here. When you bring your first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, you say, Arami Ovidavi Vayered Mitzrayim. Why? Because Lavan tried to destroy our fruits. We have our fruits here. The Belzer Rebbe and Rav Moshe Feinstein. How those both go together, I don't know. But Belzer Rebbe and Rav Moshe Feinstein both say the reason we mention this here when we bring Bikurim is because Bikurim is the definition of Akara Satov. Thanking God for the good. And when you mention all the good that we have, we thank God for everything He's done for us. For the beginning of our nation when we were Shvatim, with Lav and Arami trying to destroy us, all the way down to now. We thank you for everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it starts with love and what happened over there. The Vilna Gaon says, simplest idea. We have no idea what kind of miracles HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us behind the scenes. We have no idea. If you would look at Lavan, I'm not sure even Yaakov knew how much Lavan wanted to destroy us. He might not have even known. But Hashem knew. Lavan, Bikesh, Lakor, Esakol. Lavan wanted to destroy everything and everyone. He knew. Lavan knew that this is what was going on. And therefore, because of that, the Midrashim say, he seems like such a nice guy. He's not. Says the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, the Pasuk is telling us that Lavan Arami is so scary. We have to remember this at all times and thank God, by even our Bikurim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from the worst thing that could have possibly happened to us. That's the idea. In the Parsha of Akara Satov, we give the ultimate Akara Satov that we were able to survive. And finally, the Torah Tamima. And the truth is, normally, if you're going to conquer land, which we obviously need in order to give Bikurim, you need a nation that is together and one and is able to fight together and is able to work together to be able to take over the land and do everything like that. The Jews were a ragtag bunch of slaves. They lived in Egypt. They barely knew how to eat normal meals. I don't even know if they had normal meals back then. They were pecking like chickens, the Medrash says, until Moshe Rabbeinu taught them what to do. There was no general to rally behind. There was nothing there. It made no sense that they would be able to fight a war against the land of Canaan and win and take over the land and be able to bring Bikurim. The fact that they did it shows that we really did have a Kadosh Baruch Hu behind us. The same way that Hashem was behind Yaakovina when we fought against Lavan, this Bikurim, us being in Eretz Yisrael, shows that we have the ability to act behind somebody. We can do it together. That's the concept of putting them both together. It's an addition to that Karas HaTov idea, but it's the same basic concept. What we did, guys, we went through Arami Ovidavi. We spoke out all the different ideas. First, what Arami Ovidavi means, then what Vayered Mitzrayim means, and finally, how that connects to Bikurim. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.